you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IGO-INGO Protections Policy Development Process Working Group on Wednesday, 14th of November. On the call today, we have Lanre Ayaji, Brett Fawcett, Kieran Malancharville, Osvaldo Novoa, David Mayer, Stephen Hankins, Heidi Vanderveen, Thomas Rickett, Ricardo Gillum. We have apologies from Ilya Bazinyakov, Gregory Chaton, Paul Diaz, Christopher Rassi, and Chuck Gomes for the first hour. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Brian Peck, Margie Millim, Barbara Rossman, and myself, Julia Chauvelin. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you, Julia. Hello, everyone, and thank you for taking your time participating on this call. My name is Brian Peck, and I'm at the policy staff at ICANN. And temporarily chairing this meeting until hopefully we can determine a working group chair for this group. So, first of all, for those of you I know, there have been a couple more participants that have recently volunteered to join this working group. We thank you very much and appreciate your participation and support. If you haven't already, we do need you to submit a statement of interest. The link for providing that statement of interest, as well as information on the content, is available at the link on the under the notes on the Adobe screen, and or can be found through the ICANN website. The next order would be to determine a chair for this working group. To date, we've had one nomination placed by Chuck Gomes for Thomas Rickert. At this time, would like to see if anyone else is willing to either volunteer and or would like to submit a nomination for the working group chair.
This is Aubrey Doria.
Yes, Aubrey.
I'd like to second Chuck's nomination of Thomas.
Okay. All right. Anyone else, either for nomination and or a volunteer? Okay. Thomas, I understand you were traveling at the time that Chuck placed his nomination, and so obviously we welcome you to the call. And first of all, would want to confirm indeed that you would be willing to accept the nomination.
Thanks very much, Brian. After careful consideration, I am happy to accept the nomination.
Okay, great. All those in favor? Or any objections? Maybe it'd be easier that way.
No objection from the ISC. Okay.
This is Brett. I vote in favor of Thomas.
Okay.
This is Larry. I vote in favor of Thomas.
Okay. Thank you. Any objections? Okay, I think, Thomas, I think you are formally nominated as the chair of this working group for the IGO-INGO PDP. Thank you very much for volunteering and for your service, and I'd like to, with gratitude and appreciation, turn it over to you.
Well, the first question that I wanted to ask you is whether you could save me for today. Because I'm definitely coming back to my desk, and I haven't had the chance to listen to the MP3 of the last call, and I think I wouldn't be in a good position to lead the discussion, but I'm more than happy to do so next week.
Okay. All right. Just for those of you who are new to the group, just a brief summary before we get into today's agenda, which again is in the notes. The group has met two times prior to today. The group last week agreed to and adopted a draft working group charter, which it has since been submitted to the GNSO Council for its consideration at tomorrow's GNSO Council meeting. The motion was submitted by Lanre, and we thank you very much for his support and assistance in getting the motion in by the deadline. So the working group charter is set up for consideration by the GNSO Council at tomorrow's meeting. In addition, the discussion probably the focus of today's discussion is to review. There's been a proposal set forth by some members of the working group to draft and to submit a formal request to the General Counsel's Office of ICANN with regards to a legal review And there has been some discussion, both during the meeting last week, online since that time on the list, and we have in front of us, thanks to Barry Cobb, kind of a summary of where the current draft of the request stands. And so that's, I think, probably the focus of today's meeting, is to further discuss how to craft this particular request in terms of the scope of review and how to frame the question or questions to the General Counsel's office. So that's kind of a brief summary of the work to date. And again, probably the focus of today's discussion. Any questions on that? Okay. With that, then, why don't we go ahead and take a look at the, as I said, the standing discussion on how to frame the legal review request. The original proposal was submitted on behalf of the Registry Stakeholders Group by David Maher. And as I said, there has been some discussion within the group, both during last week's call and online since then. This document hopefully reflects kind of the current status of that request and or proposal and subsequent comments. And so at this point, I don't know, David, if you wanted to provide a brief summary update or just open it up to the floor for comment and question at this time. Oh, David, I'm sorry, you have your hand raised. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. I had a question, and that is, on the screen, the paragraph at the very end in red, I hadn't seen that before. Where did that come from?
This is Barry. This was based on the second version that was sent around from the list, and if my memory serves correct, Jim Bykoff had produced these changes that you see reflected at the top in red.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Well, I previously said that I didn't think that that phrase added by Jim was relevant to the question, but in the interest of moving forward, I'd be willing to accept that. And also, I am, again, in the interest of moving forward, I don't object to the paragraph at the end. So as far as I'm concerned, the language as it stands on the screen is a reasonable way of proceeding.
Okay, thank you, David. Any other comments or questions?
Hi, this is Kieran. I have a question.
Sure.
There was additional language that was sent out by Greg Shetton. This version doesn't seem to reflect his changes.
This is Barry. That is my bad, and I'll get something. I'll get that posted here in a minute.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay. I have Ricardo. And then, David, I'm not sure if that was from last time or if you have your hand up again. Ricardo?
Yeah, hi, Brian. Hi, everyone. It's the first time I'm participating in the working group, although you may have seen my name floating around in other papers issued by the UPU or written on behalf of the IGO community. And I was just wondering whether it's really appropriate to, again, and bearing in mind some comments made also by several GAC members, that the analysis, any analysis to be performed in this on this topic, should be done on an objective basis and without, like, specifying names of organizations such as our movement, such as the IOC and the Red Cross. So the problem for me is that the way this question is currently being phrased gives the impression that the any legal advice or information to be obtained from the General Counsel would necessarily take into account the conclusions that had already been drawn from past analysis or studies. And as you know, and I don't want to, of course, create a lot of noise here, but there has been a lot of discussion on the way these analyses have been performed the causes raised by the arguments raised by the IJO community in general. And I wonder whether it would be really useful to preempt the conclusions of such a legal review, as well as the activities of the working group, by mentioning two specific organizations in that text. So if you could just perhaps clarify to me the reasons behind that additional language, that would be useful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. David?
I'd like to answer that. I don't think that this question preempts anything. The problem is that the previous legal analysis does not address this particular question. This particular question is intended to provide a basis for an understanding by our group of the scope of our work. And I believe that the scope of our work is to determine a policy, and the question that we're asking the General Counsel is whether there are any legal parameters that would limit, in effect, the scope of the policy work. That's the intent of the question. There's a good example that illustrates why this question needs to be asked. I pointed out to Mr. Shatton, in email that, as an example, there is a registration of redcross.biz. This domain name is held by some party, and I'm not sure who it is, but it's not the Red Cross. The name is for sale. There has been no legal interference with the registration of that name. And my question, or I think our question to the General Counsel should be whether or not there is a legal restriction for that inquiry. I see the new language that's been posted that I think represents Mr. Chatton's views, and I've responded to him by email. I think these edits are not acceptable in my view.
Okay, thank you, David. I have Evan. Evan, next on the queue.
Hi there. My name is Evan Leibovich. Just as a matter of introduction, I'm vice chair of the ICANN at Large Advisory Committee based in Toronto. And I guess I'm coming into this group not from a legalistic sense, but simply as a matter of trying to advocate and put forward the public interest for end users of domains within ICANN. And I just want to speak against the earlier comment in saying that it is absolutely necessary for us to deal in some cases with individual names and individual applicants. There's within at large a very, very varying agreement on the public interest in certain kinds of names and certain specific names being protected. So I don't think that should be out of scope here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ricardo.
Yeah, thanks. Just as a follow-up comment on both David's and also Evan's latest comment. I think that the point I'm trying to make here is that I'm a little bit concerned with the language in the sense that it already not only seems to give the impression that conclusions are going to be drawn from previous activities or studies performed on those two organizations, when, as a matter of fact, the intent of this activity under the working group is to define on an objective basis and not already pre-specifying names of organizations, but to define on an objective basis the protections that IGOs are receiving, as well as certain INGOs, which in this case may include or not include IOC and the Red Cross. So the concern that has been raised in on previous occasions was that if you're already saying this, that the legal review is going to take, has to take into account some work previously done, this gives me the impression, and I'm speaking strictly from a language perspective, that the legal review shall already use some of the considerations that had been published on previous occasions. And I wonder what the usefulness of this is, because the legal review is supposed to examine again on an objective basis and not just talking, for example, about not talking about the UPU or not talking about IOC, but talking about IGOs in general as well as certain INGOs and on the basis of certain parameters that are still they still have to be defined. So that's the point I was trying to make. Of course, respectfully, I don't want to stir the pot very much. I just started participating in the working group, but I think it's important to raise that point to the group. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Ellen.
Thank you. I'm not a lawyer, but if I was the legal counsel that this was directed at, I would think I would be somewhat insulted, because if you look at the converse to what we're talking about, it's we're asking legal counsel for opinion, but they should ignore things that already have been done. We're not saying they have to accept the contents of previous work, but just they should be cognizant of it. I would like to think that legal counsel that ICANN is paying lots of money to would not ignore documents that are already around in making a giving an answer to this new question, you know, would not blatantly ignore it, would not disagree with it but not mention it. This sounds like simply we're telling them to do due diligence, and I don't think we need to spend a lot of time telling them that. Either they're going to do a good job or they're not, and if they're not, extra words that we put in are not likely to change that. So I think we're spending a lot of valuable time without a lot of real substantive outcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Kieran.
Actually, it's Jim, so I'm passing on to him.
Oh, I was just going to say in response to Ricardo's comment that since he was not a member of the prior group, he may not have had the background on what was discussed and the opinions that were previously rendered, some of which may be relevant to the future work of this PDP committee. And the language was added at the end of the last call at the request of members of this group to try to make sure that we didn't duplicate things that were done in the past by ICANN counsel or ICANN outside counsel. And that was the sole reason for that language. It does not preempt any inquiries that are going to be made or studies that are going to be made in the future. And it was just an attempt to avoid duplication of effort. And as to conclusions, we don't know if we're going to get conclusions or if we're going to get simply some opinion as to specific answers for the questions. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. David.
I accept that.
Okay. Let's wait till there's a... Okay, thank you. Thanks, Barry. Any other comments or questions or points? I'm just waiting for the screen to upload here. Ricardo.
Yeah, sorry, Brian. I don't want to extend the discussion too much, but maybe I would just make a suggestion then, because we've had a fair amount of activity surrounding the coverage of IGO names and acronyms as well. And as you may know, the GAC already provided also some advice in Toronto in this regard. So instead of simply mentioning two organizations in that language, I would suggest that the text also refers to IGOs, because this there has been a lot of discussion, a lot of activity, and also the recent GAC advice provided through its communique of Toronto. So I would suggest taking into account the work previously done regarding the IOC, Red Cross, Red Crescent, as well as IGOs or something like that. I don't know if this is acceptable to the group. Thanks.
Thank you. Any additional comments, responses to Ricardo's suggestion, or?
It's Jim Bykoff.
Yes, Jim, I had David had raised his hand first, so if I can get David and then you, Jim. Thank you. David?
Well, as I said before, I think the taking into account the work previously done is not entirely relevant to the inquiry that we're making. The work previously done that I'm aware of, including the GAC communique, does not go to this specific question. On the other hand, again, in the interest of making progress, I don't see any particular harm in including it, so I'd be willing to accept it.
Okay. Thank you, David. All right, Jim.
Yeah. The main reason for this language is not the GAC communique, but the fact that this question was referred to ICANN Council in the past, not these specific questions, but the question of entitlement of these two specific groups, the Red Cross and the IOC. And there was work done by the General Council. We discussed this at several of the IOC-RC meetings in the past, and also there was some outside counsel involvement. We do not have those reports, but they may be very well relevant to some of the things that will be discussed in this PDP group, and that was the intention there. So I think for us, for many of us, I think the question of IGO protection is not a question that we have studied yet in this group, and I think that the reason for this PDP is to study those questions and come to some conclusions within the PDP group.
Okay, thank you. Aubrey. Aubrey, perhaps you're on mute.
Apologies, I was muted.
Sure.
I think that obviously we want them to take all previous research into account. And I wouldn't be surprised. The whole issue of the IGOs was up before the GNSO several years ago. And I believe at that time the General Counsel had done some work and research on it. So I think that, I don't think we have to get too specific about which of previous work they have done that they should take into account. They should take into account any of the previous relevant work that they've done. They did some work in doing the issues report, and they've probably done work at various points. So in some sense, I'm agreeing with Alan, not that I expect the lawyers would be insulted. They would just repeat the hours and make more money. But I think that it does make sense to sort of say, take into account any previous research that has been done on these issues. And whether we list the names or not, I don't know that it really matters. I do want to make sure that I think that when we've seen some of this research, we've seen it in redacted form, And I would like to make sure that anything that's done and can come back to this group, that we're not getting a lot of redactions in the research, because that renders it a lot less useful. Thank you.
Thank you. Ricardo.
Yeah, perhaps just one final comment. Thanks. Following up on Avery's remarks, that at least the way I read the language right now doesn't limit itself to studies performed by the General Counsel. So I think we have to be very careful here just to say, taking into account the work previously done regarding IGOs as well as IOC, Red Cross, etc. Because when we look at the document links for the Charter, for example, we have a lot of information shared to the community. which is not limited to individual analysis by the Office of the General Counsel at ICANN, especially for because we also have or had some considerable issues with the content of that analysis on past occasions. So I would just say, again, reiterate that the fact that this analysis should take into account or at least acknowledge any work previously done, including, as the case may be, GAC advice, GAC studies, GNSO studies, general counsel studies, and so on and so forth, without needing to specify from where this information is coming. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I believe we had, you know, the additional suggested language by Ricardo. He was mentioning that he, in interest of moving things forward, is not paying attention to that. Any other comments on this suggested additional language that Ricardo has provided?
Brian, this is Barry. You may want to repeat some of that. You were breaking up a little bit.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. We have some additional suggested language provided by Ricardo to make it a little more broader in terms of, you know, that any previous work done related to the IOC and Red Cross, in addition to the IGOs, be taken into consideration. David Maher has mentioned or has stated that in the interest of moving things forward, he could agree to that such language. And so just wanted to see if there are any other comments or objections to adding this proposed language provided by Ricardo. Okay, I guess, Barry, if we could go ahead and add that to the text.
I'm just Barry, I'm making those changes now.
Okay. And in the meantime, Mary Wong has her hand raised. Mary?
Right. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Barry.
Sure.
Maybe it'll be helpful when we see it in the text. I was just wondering whether should be taken into consideration. What does that mean, and where would it fit? By whom, for example?
I think, Mary, as soon as we get a new document up, it's probably easier for you to see.
Sorry, raised my hand prematurely.
That's okay. indulge in anyone's patience for a minute here. Thank you. Ricardo, I see you have your hand up. Is that from before, or do you have a new?
Yeah, no, just, I mean, I don't have the, I'm also having some connection problems, but I'm calling from home. But I could perhaps send it to you, to the group early tomorrow morning, or because it's already almost 9 o'clock for me here in Switzerland, so whether this is acceptable to the group.
Okay, well, I think we're getting up the your proposal. It's uploading right now on the screen. I apologize.
Okay.
I understand there are a couple people having some problems with the Adobe Connect, but perhaps we can read it off, and then if that's acceptable.
Yep.
Okay.
So, this is Barry. Basically, all I did here was just strike out the specifics for calling out specific organizations. And if the working group would prefer, why don't I just start with a – should I start with a clean version instead of this redlined version?
This is David. Could I ask that you start with version 2? I object strenuously to Mr. Shayton's version. you've changed his version, not version two, which is the one that we, I think, had more or less consensus on.
Okay, give me a minute.
We appreciate your patience. We should get something up shortly. Thanks. David, I'm sorry, you have your hand up. Is that from the previous, or do you have...
That was from the previous.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just waiting.
Yeah, we appreciate your patience. We should hopefully get it up shortly. Thank you, David. Thank you, Barry. Sorry. Okay, Ricardo?
Yeah, no, Brian, just a suggestion. I was on in terms of language. I was
sure.
Just typing something myself here, and I could put it maybe in the chat. In the chat.
Sure. Okay.
I can read out loud if you want.
Okay, and in the meantime, I mean, just for the sake of everyone on the call, Barry has posted... the version currently up for consideration, which, as Barry has mentioned, suggests having, rather than having the specific names of the IOC and Red Cross,
mm-hmm.
Red Crescent is just to say the working group requests that any previous correspondence, determination, research from ICANN General Counsel or ICANN outside counsel be provided as a matter of expediency without duplicating previous efforts.
Okay, the only suggestion I would have in addition to that, I'm fine with it, but I would just suggest also the addition of language right after previously done to say something like, as well as any relevant information shared or on this topic or something like that.
Okay, all right. David?
Well, I don't see a need for that. The work previously done, I think, certainly would include relevant information shared. I don't think we're improving this version at this point.
This is Jim Bykoff. I agree with David.
Okay. Ricardo?
Yeah, my only concern, and I would apologize again for taking the floor once more, but just that if we simply say, take into account the work previously done, one may ask what exactly constitutes work, because if you're simply talking about the work performed by the general counsel, this is one thing. And another thing is to say, to refer to, or at least include, information, relevant information shared with the community or other advice provided by other groups and so on and so forth. So it's just a matter of covering all the bases here so that the general counsel can have a wide range of information to take into consideration. Thanks.
It doesn't say work done by the general counsel. It says work previously done. Again, I think this does not add to the clarity of the question.
Ricardo, too, again, if you can see on the Adobe on the screen, the other paragraph that's at the bottom there in red, I think, might also cover your, I mean, it says the working group requests that any previous correspondence, determination, or research from ICANN General Counsel or ICANN Outside Counsel be provided as a matter. So I think that would maybe incorporate your concern about any other relevant information. Ricardo?
Thanks, Brian. The fact here is that we would not like this to be limited to previous research performed by either ICANN General Counsel or ICANN Outside Counsel, because a lot of the information shared or even taken into account in some of the decisions and deliberations on this topic did not come from General Counsel or Outside Counsel. So that's why I'm still insisting in having either a more generic reference, perhaps at the end, just to exclude this, to say any previous correspondence, determination, and research on the topic be provided as a matter of experience. This would then allay our concerns, because then it wouldn't be limited to something that was performed by the general counsel or outside counsel. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. David?
I would accept that.
You would accept that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, if I may, this is Stefan Hankins, ICRC. I mean, in this regard, there's also work that has been done and information provided by the GAC, for example. They produced a substantive report to support their recommendation of last September, and in there are also a number of questions and recommendations which I think will have to come in the consideration of the research as regards the protection of the designations in multiple languages and issues of the kind, and of course under the relevant legal regimes that are in reference. So I do see virtue indeed of having that extension mentioned. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Ricardo, for providing that in the chat. Carlos provided his a suggestion in the chat. For those of you in Adobe, can read it, and I understand that David would be willing to accept this. he does, and David
okay.
does. Thank you.
This is Barry. So that's in addition to taking into account the work previously done and research on the topic be provided?
No, this is in the bottom paragraph. Taking out the words ICANN General Counsel or ICANN Outside Counsel and replacing it with your... taking it out.
Okay. Ricardo.
Yeah, no, just that the comment, I don't know who exactly made the comment now on the phone, But actually, it is a valid point that if we're talking about previous correspondence, determination, and research, my feeling is that we should simply replicate that above as well. And then I think someone asked me whether this would be in addition. Yeah, the changes that I propose on the chat here is they would read as follows. So that any previous correspondence, determination, and research on the topic be provided as a matter of expediency, etc. So perhaps for consistency, it would be better if we simply put the same thing, the same initial text from the last paragraph above, or we define work as being all of the 3 points below. Just a matter of consistency. I'm sorry if I'm being very technical on this with the language, but I was just wondering about this. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have no objection to that.
Okay.
I'm PDFing this now, and I'll post it to the room in a clean form.
Okay. Thanks, Barry.
Just sent something to the chat here.
Okay, so we have a current version up on the Adobe screen.
Looks good to me.
Okay. And Ricardo, okay, thank you, Ricardo. Mary, I see yours. Any objections or comments on this current draft? Okay. David has provided or submitted this as a proposal for the group to consider and adopt as a formal request from the group to the General Counsel's office. Do we have a second for this proposal?
I'll second.
Okay. Are there any? Well, I think it's easier than I would thought. Are there any objections to adopting this as a formal request that would be submitted from the group to the ICANN General Counsel's office? Any other concerns or points or questions? Okay. The group adopts this request in its current form to be submitted on behalf of the group to the ICANN General Counsel's office. Thomas, I believe the protocol calls for you as the chair to submit it to the General Counsel's office. So perhaps, Barry, if we can get a clean draft or to Thomas. And then, Thomas, if you have no objection, at your convenience, I guess, the group would like to have you submit this to the General Counsel.
Sure, no problem.
Okay. All right. Before we move on to the next agenda item, anything else on the legal review request? All right, thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is having a time. We currently, this call is scheduled for 2 hours. We're currently about 47 or 48 minutes into the first hour. So we have a little over an hour left to the extent that the group would like to continue discussions. The next item on the agenda is to begin exploration of the issues defined in the draft charter. Keeping in mind that the charter itself, of course, has not been formally adopted by the GNSO Council, but given also the request in the motion to adopt or the resolution initiating this PDP for the request by the GNSO Council to expeditiously move the work of this group forward, we thought it'd be, to the extent, again, the opportunity of making it available for the group to begin considering the issues that are defined in the charter. So with that, we do have the current draft that was submitted to the GNSO Council that is up for consideration tomorrow by the Council up on the Adobe Room. And if we go down to mission and scope, Ricardo, yes?
No, you want me to wait for maybe I can ask, I can make my comments later.
Okay, sure.
Okay, thanks.
I'll wait. No. All right. All right. If you go down to mission and scope, excuse me. And again, Barry, go ahead.
Everybody has the ability to scroll through the on their own.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. If you go down to mission and scope, again, the resolution that was adopted by the GNSO Council initiating this PDP is to consider the need for any additional special protections at both the top and second level in all existing and new DTLDs for the names and acronyms of IGOs and INGOs, including specifically the Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement, and the IOC. As part of those deliberations, the charter calls for the working group to consider the following elements: quantifying the entities to be considered for special protection, evaluating the scope of existing protections under international treaties and laws for IGO, Red Cross, Red Crescent, and IOC names, establishing qualification criteria for special protection of international organization names, and distinguishing any substantive differences, between the RCRC and IOC from other international organizations. So we have those kind of threshold considerations for the working group to consider. Should this working group reach a consensus on a recommendation that there is a need for special protections for the top and second levels in all existing and new GTLDs, then, of course, the work would be move on to determining the appropriate protection for these names, specifically for the RC and IOC at the second level for the initial round of new GTLDs. As you may know, there is a motion before the Council tomorrow that has been put forth by the drafting team that has been working on this issue, is specifically focused on the protection of IOC and Red Cross, Red Crescent names at the second level for the first round of new GTLDs only, and that is to provide for an interim moratorium. Well, excuse me, let me back up a little bit. The recommendation calls for a solution to be reached through a PDP. However, if this PDP is not completed at the time that the new GTLDs are delegated, then as a interim solution to provide a temporary moratorium of those names, those Red Cross, Red Crescent, IOC names, in the reserve list in the applicant guidebook in the appropriate section. So that is currently before the Council tomorrow. But moving on to that, once there is determination of this group to that special protections are needed, determine whether the current special protections should be made permanent, that are being provided for the Red Cross and IOC names, and if not, develop specific recommendations for that, and then develop specific recommendations for appropriate special protections for the names and acronyms of all other qualifying international organizations, including both IGOs, of course, and any additional INGOs that meet whatever criteria is determined by this group. So that's very, quick summary of the issues that are in front of this group as defined by the Charter. And with that, would welcome any initial comments or suggestions on perhaps, you know, prioritizing these issues or how possible approaches that could be taken by the group or any other additional thoughts. And Ricardo, you have your hand up.
Thanks, Ren. I'm going to be try to be quick and summarize my comments to the draft charter because I can't stay long either. My first point is specifically on the indent, the beginning of page 3, and I know I'm probably gonna draw some flack here, but I'm really worried about the legal consistency in some parts of the text. And when I start reading the second indent, determine whether the current special protections, etc., should be made permanent, and so on and so forth. I read this together with the first indent, which talks again about the protection for those two movements or organizations. But at the end of the second indent, and if not, develop specific recommendations for appropriate special protections, etc. Well, I think the whole point of the group is to provide advice on who can receive special protections and why. And again, this seems to be like preempting the conclusion of the group so that these two organizations specifically have absolutely to receive protection. And I don't want to get into the specific debate on whether one deserves or not, but it's just a matter of consistency again that we are already anticipating that these entities shall receive protection, even if they are deemed as not deserving of permanent protection. So I find this a little bit contradictory. So my suggestion would simply say to stop at in all GTLDs and full stop, because if it's not, or if the unlikely conclusion of the group is that this and that or that entity does not deserve protection, they shall not receive protection. It's pretty logical. So that's my first comment. I don't know if I can already jump the gun a little bit, Brian, because of my time constraints. Under the deliverables and time frames. Also, I had raised this issue within the RYSG point 1 when it says that the PDP shall assume that the council will approve, etc. It's hard for me to understand the reasoning behind this because, again, we would be anticipating a certain result or something that doesn't really add value to the charter. And my final comment on point 2 of the same item, deliverables and timeframes, would be to suggest right after, let's say, allow blah, 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 to exert interim recommendations with Gardana, and in case or not, somewhere in this within this paragraph to add language that refers to something like bearing in mind or acknowledging also GAC advice on the topic, because there has been already a lot of discussion from GAC members and a lot of tension in regard to this to the installation of this working group. So perhaps it would be a way of allaying some concerns in that the GAC advice shall also be taken into account under this paragraph too. These would be my three comments to the document. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you, Ricardo. David. And then Evan. David?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Yeah, oh, sure.
I was on mute. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
I agree with Ricardo's comments about the inconsistency between the first two bullet points. Unfortunately, the way the GNSO Council works, they're going to be seeing this proposed charter tomorrow, and it's too late, really, for us to make changes in it. My suggestion would be that Ricardo prepare a note to the councilors and raise these issues. It may be that at the council meeting, the stakeholder group councilors would be willing to make an amendment to the charter to deal with that inconsistency.
Okay. Thank you. Evan.
Hi, thanks. I just want to raise the point that has come up multiple times in ALAC and elsewhere, that the lumping together of all of these various bodies does not serve the public interest, and that you have a number of different protection regimes that exist to support them, and a number of other public policy issues that are in hand. I'd like to try and move for the adoption of an independent of treating the three different things independently. That we have the Red Cross, we have the IOC that have been explicitly mentioned by the GAC, and the IGO and INGOs. I think really that in order to do these justice from a public interest perspective, that we need to allow for the independent evaluation of those three particular issues. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Alan.
Yeah, I'll make a more generalized statement than what Evan just said. The premise, certainly, that I understood from the Red Cross IOC drafting team that will be proposing some temporary protections for the first term, for the first go-round, is that this PDP is going to be evaluating the need for ongoing protections. And I don't think there was any presumption in that statement that we must make the same decision as the board made in the temporary first level protection or the recommendation of the drafting team in the temporary second level protection. We're supposed to be doing this back to square one and deciding in the long term, should any of these organizations receive protection, and if so, what kind? Now, that may say the group decides that every IGO and INGO in the world gets strong protection. None of them do. Or some subset, depending on criteria, and the charter talks about establishing what the criteria is. So, if everything is not on the table, and there's already prejudgments being made, then this is a twisting of what the intent was when this originally was asked for. So, I have some real concerns if there is presumptions, regardless of the detail of the wording. That we've already made some of the decisions, and if in fact the wording says anything other than that everything is on the table, then I agree with David. It does need to be changed before the council approves it. I mean, if we're going into this simply to rubber stamp, then we have a big problem here. Thank you.
Okay. David.
Well, I think if you look at the entire context, I don't see that this draft charter needs to be changed. It would be nice to remove what is apparently an ambiguity, but if we had to wring out every ambiguity, we'd probably be here forever. I agree with Alan's point that our real goal is to look at this whole issue starting from ground zero. We are not there are no predeterminations that bind us in any sense.
Okay, thank you, David. Any other comments on this particular issue raised by Ricardo? Okay. Any other points or comments on some of the issues here that have been defined by the draft working group charter. I'm sorry, Ricardo, and then Thomas.
Yeah, no, just to follow up on, I think it was David who suggested that I send, or the UPU send, a message to GNSO counselors. And I would just perhaps seek your help on exactly who should I send this to. So that, I mean, if I can get this by email tomorrow morning, that would be great, if possible. Thanks.
Well, the answer is to send it to Jeff Newman, Jonathan Robinson, and Ching Chow, who are the counselors for the registry stakeholder group, because the UPU is a member of that group, so it's appropriate to work through the three counselors representing the registry stakeholder group.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Thomas, you had your hand up. Did you still want to?
Yes. Thank you very much. I think it might be worthwhile asking the group whether they all support Ricardo's points, because I think it would be much easier for the council to deal with that tomorrow if there was some sense of that. It's just not just a single member of the team requesting those changes. So, you might want to ask whether there are any objections to the three points that Ricardo mentioned.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. David.
I responded to Ricardo's first point. Could we have a very brief review of the points 2 and 3.
Ricardo?
Yeah, thanks. Sorry if I took a little bit too long to present those points. So the first one, again, was just about the language inconsistency in terms of if yes, if not, etc. So I think David already responded to this. The second point, under deliverables and timeframes, and specifically item number 1, I already raised this point on a previous occasion within the RYSG that it's really difficult to see how useful it would be to have this assumption that the council shall take such a decision. I don't think this adds any value to the charter. I think it was Alan who said that this group is really taking a new start in terms of analyzing the issues. Of course, bearing in mind previous information, previous studies, etc. But to assume that the council shall adopt one recommendation or another, I don't think it adds any value to the text of the charter or the activities of the group. So my recommendation was to simply delete this item number 1. And I know, I'm sorry if I came kind of late to the game, but my suggestion, if it's impossible right now to change this charter because it has already been submitted, that perhaps we as a group could convey this additional thoughts to GNSO tomorrow. And my final point, under the same item, deliverables and timeframes, but paragraph number 2, was to add somewhere here language that refers or acknowledges or bears in mind the advice provided by the GAC on this subject. Those were my 3 points. Thanks.
Thank you, Ricardo. Alan.
Thank you. I have to disagree completely on the second point. The deliverable number 1 assumption is what takes all responsibility on this group off of trying to meet the board's 31st of January deadline, and that is an important issue. Otherwise, this group is going to have to spend a lot of time over the next month and a half, 2 months, to try to address that issue and get something to the GNSO for approval. The drafting team was charged with this. The drafting team has come up with a recommendation, and we're presuming that the council will support that recommendation, and therefore this working group does not have to deal with that subject. And that is a rather crucial issue. Again, as has been pointed out, we're supposed to be addressing the overall issue expeditiously. To have a red herring, or what could be a red herring, in to occupy us for the first few months, I think would be very, very bad for the overall long-term effect. So I feel strongly that that point needs to be there. And if council, for some reason, rejects those recommendations, then we're going to be in an interesting situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. David?
Well, I agree with Alan.
Okay, thank you, David.
It's Jim Bykoff. I agree with Alan also. And I think Ricardo's third point, though, I do agree with.
Okay. Alan, do you have your hand up again?
On the third point, I'm not quite sure what the intent is. I mean, we cannot ignore the GAC advice. We don't have to follow it. I mean, there may be an interesting situation way down the road if we decide the GAC advice is something that should be ignored and that ICANN should not ignore it. The board's going to be in an interesting position. But so we need to be cognizant of it and factor it in. Doesn't mean we need to follow it. So I'm not quite sure what the suggestion was.
Okay, thank you. Ricardo, and then Thomas.
Yeah, just in quick a quick reply to, I think it was Alan. I acknowledge, of course, the intricacies of ICANN constituencies, and I was asking this question myself, whether an advice provided by the GAC on public policy, international law, etc., would be binding on the other ICANN groups. So what my intent, I don't really have like definitive language to be inserted in paragraph 2, but it was really more along those lines of cognizant, or like being aware of, or taking into account, or bear in mind, something like the related to or similar to the language that was used for the legal review, something that you take into account or you acknowledge or you are aware of, but maybe there's going to be a different conclusion from this specific group. So perhaps we can massage some language around this till tomorrow morning, and we can share this with the group. That is acceptable. Thanks.
Thomas.
I agree very much with Alan, just in terms of procedures. The GAC advice is directed to the board, and I don't think that it would be appropriate for a working group to sort of one way or the other preclude the board's discretion. So I think that if the group chose to include language regarding the GAC advice, it should be crafted in a manner that would not be that would not sound as to binding or preempting a decision to be made by the board at a later stage.
Thank you, Thomas. Okay, so I think what we have in front of us here is Ricardo has made some suggestions. We have some agreement on one or two and some disagreement on the other. It has been suggested that Ricardo draft what maybe perhaps has been agreed upon or there are no objections to, and sending that as a member of the registry stakeholder group to the representatives of that stakeholder group on the council for them to consider during their meeting tomorrow. Does everyone agree with that assessment of the current point of discussions here?
Well, this is David.
Yes, David.
I agree with number one, but not with two and three.
Okay.
obviously Ricardo is free to send anything to the counselors on his own initiative, but I don't think it would be fair. Well, others may want to speak to this, but at least my view, his proposals for his second and third proposals, I do not agree with.
Okay. Thank you, David. Anyone else?
It's Jim Bykov. I would agree that proposal two would not be acceptable. And I think that's all I want to say.
All right. Thank you. Well, in following up Thomas's point was that perhaps, as you know, say to open up discussion. Indeed, you know, I think Thomas, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what you were trying to get at is that if Ricardo were to submit something like this, is it on behalf of the group, or is it, as you say, as an individual member of the particular stakeholder group to which you belong to, which, as David pointed out, of course, you certainly can do. So I want to clarify, indeed, if that's, you know, it seems like, you know, there is some, obviously there is some disagreement on at least two of Ricardo's suggestions, and so in terms of the one that there was some agreement, again, I guess, is this something that should be represented as a view of the group, or whether it should be done individually on behalf of Ricardo and his organization? Ricardo.
Yeah, well, just a suggestion to move forward again. I could prepare just a very brief comment on point number one. And point number two, it seems like there is no agreement at all, so we can leave that aside, or I could perhaps submit something just on behalf of the UPU, but I don't think it's going to be the case. And for point number three, perhaps it's still not clear the level of agreement that we have here, but I could prepare some language that respects the different attributions of the bodies and submit to the group for your consideration before we can maybe send something to the GENESO. If this is acceptable to you, I could prepare something quickly for tomorrow morning, and then we'll see.
Open it up to the group. Is it something that the group would want to consider in terms of having something, at least on Ricardo's first suggestion? Or is it something, again, that the group would prefer to be done on an individual basis? Alan, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. To be honest, I think this is a make-work effort. We're all conscious of the fact that if we reject GAC advice, we do it with some onerous impact on the end results, and we're not likely to do it blithely without thinking about it. So there's no way we're not going to be cognizant of the GAC advice. We may follow it, we may not, but we're not going to ignore it and pretend it isn't there. No.
It's Jim Bykov again. I think this should be done by Ricardo on an individual basis.
Okay. Anybody else? Thomas.
Yeah, I think the discussion has shown the various views on that, and the reason why I was asking or encouraging you to ask the group what their thoughts would be and whether this could be a joint statement or not was just because I assume that the council in its discussion tomorrow will ask whether this is a consensus position of the team. And I think it is good enough for us to be able to report back to the council what the various views were to give them a more complete picture. And there are a couple of people that will be on the council call tomorrow. So I think that, Ricardo, you should just make your point in writing and submit it through the councillors of the registry stakeholder group, and I think that we will have enough information to inform the decision at the council level tomorrow. So I agree with Alan that we might not wish to put more effort and work into this subject at this stage.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. Ricardo?
Yeah, just a final question then, because it seems like for point one there was no disagreement from the group, so we could still submit at least this first remark on the inconsistency of language as a group consensual position of the group. And for points two and three, either we drop it or, as the case may be, the UPU would submit an individual position. So concerning point one specifically, would it be possible if I would it be okay if I send you maybe some very short statement that could represent the views of the group? That's just to confirm what the way forward would be. Thanks.
I think we'd all need to see it first.
No, sure, of course.
Is it something, Ricardo? Do you want to put in the chat right now so that since we have the group here? We could review it, and then the group could decide whether to indeed endorse it or not, given we do have a relatively short frame between now and the actual GNSO Council meeting.
When is the meeting taking place, Brian?
At 11 a.m. Excuse me. Yes, 11 a.m. UTC time tomorrow.
Okay. So because I was more thinking about, like, just a very short message. I cannot really prepare right now.
Okay.
But I could send it first thing in the morning tomorrow for all of you, and then you can just, like, say whether it's okay or not, and then we submit it as a group position. Otherwise, but it would be first thing in the morning in your mailboxes.
Okay. Has anyone, would the group be willing to at least consider Ricardo's language if he sends around?
It's Alan, point of order. First time,
sure.
First thing in the morning in whose time zone? I don't know.
That's
where
true. That's true. Thank you, Alan.
And the meeting is at 6 a.m. my time, so.
Sure, and it's 3 a.m. On the west coast of the United States.
Okay.
So it's, I mean.
I can try to send it because it's already 10 o'clock for me here, almost 10
sure.
o'clock.
Sure, no, I understand.
But I can try to send it right now, right after this call to you all. And if you're okay with it, then we can already have an answer still tonight from the group.
Any objections to that? Okay. Okay. So as we understand, Carl, you addressed some language with regards to your first suggestion to send around the group to see if you get a consensus from the group to endorse it as a comment on behalf of the group for the GNSO consideration of the draft working group tomorrow. Any other suggestions that you've raised would be submitted on solely on your behalf and not on behalf of the group.
That's fine.
Okay. All right, thanks. Any other points or suggestions in terms of some of the other issues that have been defined by this draft charter? Okay. We still have one other item, or two other items on the agenda. One is to review a second draft. There's of a work plan that originally was submitted as part of the draft working group charter for consideration by this group. The group obviously focused its attention on the working group charter itself in order to meet last Wednesday's deadline. So to be honest, there hasn't been a lot of time, or if any, given to this draft work plan. But it was drafted from the staff as a suggestion, at least as a starting point, again, given the request and the mandate, if you will, for this working group to work as expeditiously as possible, and taking into account trying to condense a time frame to moving forward. And so, again, this is just a starting, purposely for a starting point of discussion and consideration, and so it's up on the screen right now. And certainly welcome any comments or input that anyone would have.
And this is Barry. Just to touch on some of our near-term meetings, next week, the 21st of November, is a day prior to a U.S. holiday, so the members may want to consider whether a meeting will be heavily attended or not. I recommend that we try to have the meeting given the expedited nature. The second thing to note, the session for the 28th of November, there may be, the working group definitely should meet, but just to point out that there may be limited policy staff assistance on that call. Certainly we'll be able to arrange all of the coordination of the conference call and Adobe Connect rooms and those kinds of things, but there will be limited staff support then. And this is Barry. I'll also point out that the work plan that we have in front of you right now is just a very generic type plan. I think probably the bigger takeaway on this is just to point out, or more or less try to work backwards from April, which is around the time for the meeting in Beijing. There are some key level deadlines that are listed in this work plan, as well as it'll give you a feel for the number of weekly meetings that we have, which for those that are new to the working group process, they come up to you quite quickly, even though it looks, or that you get the feeling that a certain effort is 4 months out. So ask that the working group be mindful of that. And as we start to formulate more of the issues that need to be addressed, this work plan will respond with that, with the other key milestones that we need to accomplish.
Barry, this is Thomas. I have one question. Have you already reached out to General Counsel in terms of how long it will take for the legal review to prepare?
This is Barry. We've had some initial discussions about the request, but we have not made a determination of the length or duration. But certainly Brian and I will take that action to get this legal and understand what a time frame might look like.
It would be excellent to have at least an indication of the target date for that, because I think we need to craft some of the action items that we will discuss surrounding that date.
Understood, and we'll definitely carry that message forward and get back to you ASAP.
It's Thomas again. I have another question, and this goes out to the group, actually. We have, if I understand correctly, all these meetings are scheduled to be two-hour meetings. And my question to you is whether we think that we can maybe condense the multiple meetings concerning one item into fewer meetings and do some more work preparing on the mailing list. If you, for example, look at the response to charter questions, formulate recommendations, that would be three subsequent meetings, 6 hours discussion on the phone in total. I think we might be able to condense that a little bit, even at the risk of, you know, maybe dropping one meeting to have more time to digest everything. Maybe I could get some views of the group members on this.
Okay, David. Okay, I'm sorry.
Raise my hand.
Okay.
It's Jim Bykoff.
Yes, Jim.
I was going to say, on Thomas's suggestion, a lot of people in the United States will be traveling next Wednesday, and I'm not sure how connections will work. So maybe that's an opportunity to do more of this online and have the meeting the following week.
Thanks, Jim. I was rather thinking of those multiple meetings concerning one subject, right? I take your point, and it's a good one. But if you look at the dates of November 28th, December 5th, December 12th, that is all on the same subject. And we have such duplication later on in the work plan as well. And, you know, I'm more than happy to call for all these meetings, but I think that experience shows that there is at least some duplication, you know, with recapping at the beginning and all of that. So when we're talking about one action item, we might be able to maybe condense the work a little bit and maybe do it even in a shorter period of time than 3 weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't mean to limit my comment to next week, but I think that I agree with you that we probably could either cut out a meeting or two or limit it to maybe 1 hour on certain subjects.
Okay. Barry, you have your hand up. Sorry.
Thank you. Just to make it clear to the working group, what's presented for in front of you now is a very generic template. It does not indicate the actual workload that may need to be performed from the charter. And so you can literally think of these repeat items as just placeholders for further deliberations that may need to occur, subdivisions of work that that may need to happen based on how the working group thinks that we should approach certain issues and certainly those things. So I guess really the key here is all of these dates that are listed are essentially every Wednesday that we have an opportunity to meet, and that's an opportunity for the working group to come together and deliberate issues and recommendations. As I mentioned, as we work through the next couple of meetings, we should start to be able to formulate the exact amount of work that needs to occur, not to mention based on hopefully input from the GCO, et cetera. But I suspect that by the beginning of December, this current work plan will look completely different as to what types of tasks, issues to be addressed, recommendation formulation, creation of the initial report, et cetera, will look like. And right now we've only pointed this to the April area just because of the expedited nature of this working group. Certainly typically more normal working group on a more natural timeline is closer to a year where a lot of these same tasks are created and performed. So again, this is just a template, and as we refine actions that need to be required by the working group, this should change substantially. The dates may not necessarily change, but certainly the deliverable or topic of discussion will.
Okay. Thanks, Barry.
Excuse me, this is Stefan Hankins, ICRC. I don't have the computer page before me, so I can't put my hand up. I was just wondering how the working group is expected to proceed. The assumption is that the legal question that we've been discussing and the report that will be produced will feed the strong legal dimension of the reflection that we'll be given to have. Is that the assumption, or because I mean the questions that are to be addressed, I mean we could write a thesis on one or two of them. So I'm just wondering, you know, how this is going to proceed, whether you know who are we going to resort to for legal expertise, at least on, you know, the specifics of given organizations or given designations, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments or points on the scheduling or the work approach for the group? Alan.
Yeah, thank you. In regard to Stefan's question, I think it's going to depend what the answer is. If we get an answer back from general counsel saying, yes, it is illegal for ICANN registries to register certain names or registrars to use certain name to register certain names, we should have told you that before, but we never did, but we know it's illegal, then our conclusions are pretty simple. I don't even think we need policy process to say we shouldn't do things illegal. Our contracts already say they can't do things that are illegal. Becomes far less clear if the answer comes back saying there's no legal restriction. Then we actually have to make a decision, which indeed is what we're here for, I think. We need to get that off the table first, but I don't think it's not likely to change our requirement to actually make conscious decisions, which leads me to the conclusion that we're going to have a few more weeks' work than what is discussed here to be able to come up with a preliminary report. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Anyone else? Okay. Our final agenda item is our next steps and to confirm a time for the next meeting. As I think some have already mentioned on today's call, there is next Wednesday, the 21st of November, is the day before a major U.S. holiday where maybe several people, at least on the U.S. side, may be traveling or not available, but that obviously doesn't preclude scheduling a meeting. So would open up to suggestions of when the next scheduled meeting should be, as well as any other next steps. I mean, I think obviously the first threshold is whether the GNSO Council adopts the working group charter tomorrow, and of course, formally submitting the request from Thomas to the General Counsel with regards to the legal review. Those are the two immediate next steps, and of course, you know, the responses to those would help dictate, I think, our future work of this group. So, with that, as I said, we now open it up to suggestions of whether we try to plan the next meeting for next Wednesday, the 21st, or to wait until the following week, which I believe would be the 28th of November. Ricardo.
Yeah, my only suggestion, again, would be to perhaps find a time that doesn't go way after normal working hours in Europe. So if you could just find some compromise time, perhaps like 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. or 6:30 p.m. for us here, that would make it easier for people in Europe to participate. Thanks.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, Brian, it's Margie, if I may.
Yes. Hey, Margie, please.
Hi, this is Margie Myelum. Also, the week after Thanksgiving is a policy retreat, so we won't be able to have Brian or Barry on the call that week unless we do it really early, Pacific time, because that we're all in policy management meetings that we won't be able to participate in. We can have secretariat support, that you'd be without, real substantive support if you want to proceed during that week.
So you would be absent the whole week as of the 26th?
Our retreat is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then half day Friday of that week. And again, it would be myself, Barry, and Brian that would be out. I think Julia would be available to coordinate the call, so you'd have Adobe Connect and you'd have secretariat support. But in terms of getting any substantive help, you'd be missing the three of us.
And what about the 26th then?
Let me look.
Yeah, the 26th is the the 26th is the Monday. Yes, I'm sorry. That's
yeah. So in the morning of the 26th, we could. I think we start our meetings 1:30 Pacific time on Monday.
Which would be 9:30 UTC. 2130 UTC. Excuse me. So if there's a possibility of scheduling it beforehand, then we could certainly be available. Thomas, would that be a possible alternative for that particular week?
Oh, it looks like Thomas may have been dropped.
Oh, yeah, he's typing, yeah, okay. Yeah, he's saying he would not like to skip two subsequent weeks, and so I guess let's see what he says here. Maybe perhaps, Margie, an alternative would be that Monday, the 26th, before, 21:30 UTC time.
Yeah, we can do that.
If the group is, if that's possible for the group.
It's Alan. This is a large group, only a subset of which are on this call.
Yes.
I'm sure we can really unilaterally change it and presume other people can attend.
Yeah. The other option would be is to keep the same day, but then perhaps... as Margie suggested, I understand Thomas's concern about skipping 2 weeks, especially given the, trying to expeditiously move this PDP work forward. It would be possible to keep the same day, but just have to schedule it a few hours earlier. I'm certainly willing to.
Or maybe one staff person can be given dispensation for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's up to the
I need them. We have a lot of work to do to coordinate all the working group stuff. So I really need both Brian and Barry.
But I don't know, Alan. With that, do you think that might be? I understand your point. Whether maybe keeping the same day, but perhaps moving it up a few hours. I wonder if that would be something feasible.
Yeah, we could wake up early.
I'm back on the call.
Oh, good, great, Thomas. Thank you. We were just discussing. I mean, Alan made a point that it might. Obviously, there's a large number of people that have signed up for the group that are not on today's call. So it might be difficult to kind of unilaterally change the day, the normally scheduled day, which are Wednesdays. So perhaps, and we understand your concern about, missing 2 weeks in a row. So perhaps maybe as an alternative, we could keep the Wednesday, which is the 28th of November, but we could schedule it earlier in the day before our policy meetings start. I mean, I'm certainly willing to certainly do that. If you think that would be better.
That's great. If you would accept that sacrifice and take that extra hassle, that would be great.
Sure. We could just figure out the timing here, and just I guess question B is whether we should just select a time that will work in terms of giving us at least 2 hours, or whether we send out a doodle poll to see what time would might be convenient. But that might also, I leave it up to Thomas. What should we do for a week? Set a time that would work, hopefully at least for the staff, and hopefully would work for a majority of people on the group. Or we could send out a doodle poll and see what time, suggest some times.
This is Jim Bykov. Could you tell us what time would work for ICANN staff?
Sure. Well, I think, Margie, it's the meetings start at 9:30 a.m. local time here. Is that correct?
I can't remember, but I can't imagine we would start sooner than 9. So we could do 7 to 9, for example.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out UTC time.
So that would be 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
No, that'd be 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's 10 a.m., yes.
Yes.
So it looked like it'd be around 1400 UTC or 1500 UTC.
Thomas, would that be something that's feasible? My boss.
Sounds great, doesn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, we don't mind if you think that would be a reasonable time, for example, people in the European time zone.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Okay. Well, why don't we do that? We'll go ahead and have Julia send out an invite, you know, noting that it is an earlier time for this particular Wednesday, and there is no call for next Wednesday, the 21st.
Mm-hmm. Brian and Barry, if I may, just make one remark. Although, Ellen, you had your hand up, didn't you?
No, that's a microphone that someone gave me and never took away.
Okay. Just one remark. I think for us to be quick with this PDP, it's crucial that we reach out to all interested parties and get their input, because the more input and information we get during this process, the less complications there might be subsequently. I think we all remember the discussions surrounding IOC and RCRC only, which at times have been very controversial. So I think it's crucial for us to try to reach out to those groups that have not been too vocal during the last year on this issue, to make sure that we incorporate all their views in our work as we move on. So any help with that would be most appreciated.
Okay.
Thomas, this is Barry. As part of the PDP guidelines, there is a required step that we do solicit input from the various stakeholder groups and constituencies within the GNSO and at the discretion of the working group to the broader SOs and ACs. I can shortly later today or early tomorrow send out a first draft out on the mailing list for that request, so that the working group can respond with edits and maybe refine other issues or points that the working group would like to request of this input. And we can probably get that out, send out prior to the Thanksgiving holiday, and then that'll give a couple of weeks, and maybe we'll start to receive input by the beginning of December from these various groups.
Mm-hmm. Barry, that's very helpful. You know, certainly this step has to be taken, but I was more thinking of using our personal contacts and trying actually to get people and sort of gently forcing them to participate. You know, I think we've seen an awful lot of these requests to participate in various groups and projects, and sometimes you just file them somewhere, if not even delete them. And I think we as team members should reach out to those that we personally know and that might have an interest in contributing to this group. So I wanted to get more to the personal level and get more and encourage more people to participate. But certainly your statement was most helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so I think, as I said, we'll have Julia send out the next invite for the 28th of November at the appropriate time that we've mentioned, and there will be no meeting next Wednesday, the 21st. Okay, any last comments or questions?
It's me, Thomas, again. Thanks for your trust, all of you, and thanks to Barry and Brian for helping out and not forcing me to chair this meeting immediately. And I'm looking forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, everyone. We appreciate your time and your participation and support.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.